What keeps you moving forward in your faith journey, and how do you avoid the traps that can take down leaders? How can you stay the course when criticism and fatigue and impossible situations test the fabric of your faith? How can you stay on track when unexpected change trashes your plans? The heroes of faith are not the most famous or gifted, but those who finish well. As a teenager, I grieved the loss of my gentle grandfather. The text at his funeral, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I knew I had problems, but I couldn't imagine that my gentle grandfather, always smiling from his rocking chair, ever fought a fight or had hard times. Much later, I learned of his mind-bending grief when his precious 2-year-old daughter opened a package of poultry medicine and innocently ate enough to take her life. I learned of his despair when the U.S. military appropriated his beloved family farm for a new military base. Whatever your calling, you will encounter trouble that tests your faith to move forward. Sandra and I are in a different season of moving forward after 40 years of full-time ministry. We walk in uncharted territory as we hand off our ministries to younger leaders. Retiring may seem easy, but under the surface, dark questions brood. Who am I now? Am I still useful? Does anyone know I'm still here? Moving forward is a confusing mix of letting go and keeping on. One day, Sandra and I experienced what seemed like an allegory of this season of our life. We had been traveling northern winter roads all day, and a maroon Altima had turned white from road salt. I could hear rust building on the frame and eating away exposed metal. I was exhausted. The night was dark, but to protect the car, we found a drive-through car wash, fully automatic. I slid my Visa card and watched neon lights illuminate my instructions. Put your car in neutral. Take your foot off the brake. Put your windows up. Don't run your wipers. I put it in neutral. We rolled slowly forward. The soap cycle with its cotton candy foam sealed us off from the outside noise. The car rolled along on its own initiative, but it didn't trigger the rest of the cycle, leaving us in a soapy cocoon. Something wasn't functional. I backed up and rolled down my window to see where I was going. Perfect timing. This triggered a whole new round of soap, spraying in all over the dash and my new winter coat. This time, I followed instructions. Drifting forward again, another round of soap. Sandra said, my wife said, put the wipers on. But the instructions said not. We move forward again, blindly. Sandra said, there are car lights by my window. So I risked the wipers. Sandra said, we're almost in someone's front lawn. I rolled my window down. We had exited the car wash, rolled onto the street, and we're now blocking 4 lanes of evening commuters, 20-some drivers staring at this unidentified mass of foam. We get off the street in a hurry, circle around to the back entrance to the car wash to discover the young attendant absorbed in his video game, complete with headphones, and that yes, it was an automatic car wash after the attendant started the equipment. The way forward is like that. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. There's no reverse. Even when your way forward, like the car wash, is without sight. We love to read stories of those who did quit, who overcame odds. We just don't want to be that story. Not when you can't see, and fear is killing you, and all your wisdom and experience and logic seem totally useless. Your way forward begins with a desire from the Holy Spirit. If you recognize this desire, act on it, and overcome your complacency and unbelief. You will see your desires granted because these are God's plans. If you tune your inner ear to God's purposes, you will be a game changer. Find your kingdom purpose. God called one of my heroes, Irvin Shantz, to Red Lake, Ontario in 1953 to pioneer ministry on the remote Native reserves. He had vision and faith. He mobilized in obedience, but the birthing was hard. Living in a camper and eating frozen potatoes in the Canadian winter isn't fun. But this forward living pioneered the way for others, multiplying his ministry beyond himself. Irwin didn't quit, and God prospered the ministry. Sonia and I had a reverse call from what Irwin had. We left Red Lake for church planting in the city of Thunder Bay in 1989. A tremendously exciting idea until we landed in the car wash. Started a church with no money and knowing only about five people in the city. Impossibilities were everywhere. I really, really wanted to quit several times a day. But when we prayed, the Lord always whispered that we should wait. When we did, we saw fruit and change. We moved forward in spite of our inadequacies, in and through the car wash. The philosopher Voltaire says that the sound of history is the sound of soft silk slippers coming down the steps and of hobnail boots going up the steps. I'll let you interpret that. I say the sound of faith is the front door creaking open, and the back door slamming shut. God puts possibility on your heart, your vision, your call forward to birth what is not yet. Something simple, like maybe starting to have family devotions, or new levels of prayer, or initiating an outreach, or a call to a new job or ministry. Doors open enough to see a bit. When you obey, the back door of retreat slams shut. Now, faith training gets real. Presuppositions of what you could do are challenged by reality. You're in the car wash. You can't back up. God has you in his purposes. Everything goes forward. I have watched believers with clear calls move into frontier missions. They're excited about the front door, but they're afraid to slam the back door shut just in case they can't make it. So they hang on to their house back home or their business. I watched the pull of home undercut God's training in this new frontier. Paul declares in Philippians 3:13, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." The patriarch Jacob's story is one of front and back doors. He leaves home under Esau's threat of death. God has closed his back door, slam shut tight. Out the front door is the unknown of Laban's world. Jacob has his dark night encounter, where God assures him that this journey is greater than his fear and loss. "I am with you and will be with you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land." Jacob marks this place he calls Bethel with an altar. He moves into the unknown. After 20 years, he has two wives, two concubines, and 11 quarreling sons. God again calls Jacob forward, but Laban pursues Jacob, catching up at Gilead. They make an agreement not to harm each other. The back door shuts. God's purposes for Jacob are not in Paddan Aram. Jacob builds another altar, but after the back door shuts, Esau shows up with 400 men, and not for a meet and greet. Certain death is coming to Jacob's helpless little band. Jacob schemes as he always does, but it ends in the dark, mysterious night, wrestling with a man who turns out to be the Lord. For all of us who move forward, this is a strangely familiar struggle. "I thought you opened this door, but now I'm about to die. I shouldn't have left Laban. I should go back before Esau kills me. But I am with you." "Yeah, I wish you were, for sure. I will never leave you nor forsake you." "Yeah, but I'm trapped. I see no way forward." "Just wait and see what I'll do. You'll have a new name. I'll make a way forward with an open door nobody can shut." There's no geographical boundary to keep Jacob from going back, only a stone altar, an agreement with Laban, a promise that Jacob's future isn't Paddan Aram. The back door is slammed shut, so Jacob wrestles, ending up with a blessing and a limp. As he limps towards Esau, the way forward is already opened by the Lord. Amazing. Esau's long-held bitterness dissipates when his lying little brother limps toward him. Fatigued and aware of his limp, Jacob knows he can't go back. He finds peace from a new name. You have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Now walk forward in your new identity and new confidence in God's favor. Jacob limps forward with the authority of God, making a way before him. In Shechem, he builds another altar, El Elohi, Israel, mighty is the God of Israel, and lives happy ever after. Actually, his whole story is one of tragedy. What Jacob can't see out the front door is that eternal purposes of God are at stake with his journey. His soon-to-be 12 runny-nosed wild sons and future heads of 12 tribes, foundational to the arc of the biblical story. Their 12 names are now written on 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. Esau, even with 400 men, can't stop God's plans. And Esau can't stop God's plans for you. Like Jacob, make altars of no return. Even as you wrestle, move forward by faith to prevail. You can't see to the other side of the car wash. You only have God's promises. There's always an easier way, a shortcut, a temporary escape. Don't retreat. Wrestle in prayer. Let God validate your spiritual identity. He will give you a stamp of approval. Jacob, getting a new name, no longer deceiver, now Israel, the future nation of God's people. Let God be your identity. His calling is your energy for moving forward. Our time in Thunder Bay with the church plant had all these dynamics and challenges for our children, doubts about the wisdom of coming to the city, distress in our marriage, broken relationships in the church, feelings of incredible inadequacy. The cross-cultural nature of the ministry sometimes felt like facing Esau. I had a secluded spot in the wilderness north of the city where I would go to quit. Lord, I know you love me and I want your will, but I am really, really done with all this mess and personal pain. I know I could go home, pack up everything tomorrow, and drive out of here, and I'd still be a son, according to your promise, right? Right? I would hear the Lord say, yeah, Ken, that's right, but just wait. I didn't want to wait anymore, but his voice brought me this strange inner peace. I would limp home, and then we would see measurable change and growth in the ministry. The greatest proof that you are in God's purpose is a dark night. You wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as you wrestle, things change. Your self-confidence is replaced with a limp. If you move towards Esau, you won't fight alone. You get a new identity, one with kingdom purpose and inner peace. You most likely won't ever know the full impact of your journey in this life. Jacob died in Egypt, not in Canaan, but he believed the promises and asked to be buried back in Canaan. He recalled the altars that marked his faith, his way forward. My simple, godly grandfather had little clue of how his staying the course affected me. He wasn't a church leader, but he was faithful. He ran the race and finished well. His story encompasses mine, and Jacob's story encompasses yours. You're a part of the eternal story, moving forward with faith. Like Paul, forget what's behind, all of it, your failures, the regrets, the shame, the missed opportunities. Like Paul, strain towards what is ahead, the great eternal kingdom.